Think about people like Joshua and Caleb. It was not their fault that they couldn't get into the land of promise. Right? They didn't do anything wrong. They did all the right things all the time. But because the event is for the whole nation, and they were only two people out of the whole nation, they had to go with the flow. The rest got stuck in the wilderness. They had to wander with them for 40 years. But God preserved them. So that when Caleb came forth, Caleb says, I'm as young and as strong as I was on the day. God preserved them. So that's just to encourage you, in case some of you felt that you're in plan number 888. And you have been delaying in every area, right? God can restore those years. There's foreknowledge, there's predestination. So there are two types of predestination. Predestination of events, which is non-negotiable, can be affected by free will, but cannot be prevented from happening. It will still take place. Things like Jesus' second coming, it's not a conditional promise. That's a definite thing that's going to take place. Certain predictions of God's, what's going to take place, like the revised Roman Empire rising in the last days, you and I cannot prevent it from happening. It is just going to happen. We just got to live with it and know how to live with it the way God wants us to live. We don't have to be frightened about it. Yes, talking about prophecies of Daniel. A lot of other prophecies that are going to take place. And they're just going to happen. Events. But the second type of predestination is interesting. It's the predestination of persons. How does God know the name of the king who will be used by God to bring the Israelites from captivity? His name was Cyrus. Hundreds of years before he was born, the Bible gave us his name. And that is a remarkable predestination. Then you and I ask the question, does Cyrus have a choice? He has. But this is how the predestination of persons take place. In the predestination of persons, there are two levels. That means, there are two levels. Two different levels. So if the two types of predestination, point number one is predestination of events. Point number two will be predestination of persons, of people, specific people. So under point number two, predestination of people, there will be two sub-points, A and B. There are two levels, A and B. Level A, level B. Say, what do you mean by level? This is how it operates. Let me give an example in the Bible. In the book of Romans, it tells us here, in chapter 9 of Romans, now God did predict about the restoration of the Jews, which is going to take place, and it's an event that will take place, and God will raise up people to bring it to take place, but it's an event that will come to pass. But in the midst of speaking about that, in Romans 9, he says here, about Pharaoh, in verse 15 onwards, Romans 9 verse 15, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Now it looks as if that Pharaoh was raised up to be an evil guy. It does look that way. But if you look at the context, although he says in verse 18, therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. But you must look at the context. The scripture in verse 17 of Romans, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, is taken from Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. So let's look at Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, and see exactly when that took place. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. So here's an example on Pharaoh, Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. Okay, have you found it? Exodus 9:16. Okay. And it says, for indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Isn't that the exact quotation that you have in Romans 8? Now look very carefully. That statement did not occur until six plagues had taken place. Right? It was not pronounced on Pharaoh before anything happened. There were six plagues that took place. And the seventh was about to happen. So in the first plague, God turned the waters into blood. That's in chapter 7. God says, let my people go, Pharaoh, or this will happen to you. Pharaoh says, no! And shoo, the waters turn to blood. And Pharaoh is a wishy-washy guy. And his heart in verse 23 of chapter 7 was not moved. 7 days, the water was like blood. Then in chapter 8 of Exodus, when Pharaoh didn't let go, Moses came again to Pharaoh's court with his big stick and says, Pharaoh! And he says, let my people go! God says. And you know Pharaoh's answer. No! You can say, no way, Jose! Sorry, my name is not Jose, my name is Moses. No way, Moses! And the second plague took place. Frogs came all over the land. It was a land of frogs. Too bad the Egyptians were not Chinese. They would have a feast. Frogs legs in abundance. And the frogs were bad for them. And finally, Pharaoh says, oh, you know, can you please ask the God to move the frogs away? Moses says, alright, when do you want me to do it? Tomorrow. Right? I don't know why he didn't say tomorrow, right? I would say tonight. I say tomorrow I'm gonna sleep one more night with them. So tomorrow. So the next day all the frogs died and the whole place stank. And then when Moses came, he said, alright, Pharaoh, keep your word now. Keep your word now. You promise we remove all the frogs. Let my people go. Pharaoh says, no! No way! Jose! Sorry, Moses! And Moses lifted up his, stretched out his stick. Actually, Aaron did it on his behalf. And the third plague took place. Lies came from all over the place. It was a plague of lies. And suddenly, Pharaoh started scratching himself. You know, it's a bad time. But Pharaoh's, in verse 19, his heart grew hard. His heart grew hard. Then God says, Moses, ask Pharaoh again. Say, Pharaoh! And Pharaoh was there busy scratching. You know, would you like to let my people go? Pharaoh says, no! Fourth plague came, flies, shoom, tick, so many flies, so much flies, you can't count them, The whole land was black with flies, except where the Israelites were. It's interesting, you know. Imagine if your house or your set your picnic barbecue table right outside the border of Goshen. So on the other side where the Egyptians are trying to have their barbecue, all the flies are zooming in. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Right. Every piece they eat, they had to eat the flies along the way. That would have been a delicious meal. But you peep across the fence where the Israelites were, they were fly free. Right. And at that time, there was no raid, nothing, you know, nothing invented anti-flies yet. The flies couldn't cross the border. That would have been an interesting scene. At the end, Pharaoh says, all right, let you go, you know. Go and sacrifice. So Moses got rid of all the flies. And then when Moses says, all right, we're ready to go, Pharaoh says, no, that is number 5. And they raised the plague. Every livestock died. Shoo. Now they don't even have meat to barbecue. And then Pharaoh says, all right, I'll let go. And then when Moses came, changed his mind again. He said, no, I don't let go. The 6th plague happened. Big giant boil started happening. A disease started dropping on everyone. And you look around, and you know, all the magicians all have big bumps on their head. You know, Pharaoh's, if he were wearing a crown or something, couldn't fit it in because his head had big bumps all over him. There was no cure. And in verse 11 of chapter 9, the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. Must have been big ones. They couldn't stand because the boils were also on their feet. Couldn't sit because their balls were on their bums. It must be terrible. Couldn't lie down. Couldn't turn all the place. In their misery, Pharaoh says, all right, I'll let you go. Because he was almost dying of balls. I can imagine the balls all covering him. His mouth hardly moved. So he's like, I'll let you go. What do you say? I'll let you go. And God cured him of all the balls. And then when he could talk properly, he said, no! And that was when God says, I have enough. From now onwards, I will use him as an example for future generations of what will happen to people who resist my power. Can you see the whole process? God didn't just make Pharaoh a bad guy. Pharaoh kept choosing 6 times. The wrong thing. And he reached a point where you go into level 2 of resisting God. There's a level 1 of resisting God. When you reach a level 2 of resisting God, God says, no matter what you do from, you have now Pharaoh, God drew a line on the ground. God says, Pharaoh, you have crossed over this line. Now for this purpose, I raise you up to demonstrate all my power. So from that moment on, only judgment and death are determined for him. He crossed the line of no return. So he has dropped down into predestination level 2. Predestination level 2 is either you're ordained for good or bad, and you hardly have any choice, quote unquote, left, because your heart is also made up to be either an enemy or a friend of God. And we saw for Pharaoh, he became an enemy of God. So notice that in predestination of persons, there are 2 levels. Level 1, you know, God is still, the free choice is still very, very active. Very active. But when you resist God, you reach a level 2, there's a line of no return. You say, is that scriptural? Isn't it in the New Testament in Hebrews 6? And in another portion of Hebrews, where it says it's possible to cross the line and there's no more repentance? That's in the Bible. It's possible to cross the line. But it's not easy to cross the line because it must be very, very, very hard to do. Hard-hearted to do that. And you have to do it many, 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 many times. Yes?
Can